services, and organizations that benefit you as a citizen of Forsyth County. Welcome to Empowering You, your host, Brian Anthony.
It's high noon in the triad once again. Good afternoon. It must be time for Empowering You. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, General Manager of WSNC 90.5 FM, Brian Anthony. Today, with Empowering You, as always, we'll highlight local nonprofits in our city, county, and the region, of course, and the many, many services they provide the citizens of Forsyth County and the Triad, many of which we'll be surprised that we don't even know about. We'll also introduce many of the local corporations that have community initiatives designed to benefit you and to continue to make our region a great place to live. Not only will we feature nonprofits and corporate community initiatives, we'll also hear from some of our local entities like the health department we've heard from, the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools, the City of Winston, and one more added monthly feature we'll focus on staying true to the name of this show, Empowering You, by focusing on empowerment, specifically women's empowerment with a special guest partner we'll introduce to you today. All packed into an hour show. We hope that you make it a point to join us every Sunday following Money Making Conversations at noon. Also, if you miss it, the podcast is available on our website, as all of our public affairs programming is, just by logging on to WSNCradio.org and clicking media on our navigation bar. You can also access our website on our free mobile app that you can download in your device's app store. As part of what we do on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, you've heard from the City of Winston-Salem. You've heard from the Forsyth County Health Department. You've heard from the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School System. All the local entities that I think are important in helping you as a citizen find out what services are available to you here in the community and how they affect your daily life. One other feature that I've been promising you that I was going to add, and I'm going to add, and we're introducing it today, focuses on the name of this show, basically, empowerment. And particularly, and I'll get into this, women's empowerment. So today, it is my pleasure to, and we'll get into a lot of different parts of why I think this is vital for empowering you. Let me introduce to you the publisher of Forsyth Women's Magazine, Brooke Eagle. Welcome to the show.
Hey there. Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
So first of all, thank you for taking on this task of, and we've never met before. We've only met on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Never in person.
Right. So how did I come to this point where I thought empowerment was important for the show and selecting you as a partner to help me and help us, help the citizens of Forsyth County understand empowerment, in particular women's empowerment? Because I think women's empowerment is a main focal point of your magazine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me about, let's not assume that everybody knows about Forsyth Women's Magazine. They should. But how did you get started? You're the publisher, but I understand you have a partner as well.
Yeah. So Forsyth Woman Magazine, we're celebrating 17 years this year.
Wow.
In business. My mom, her name's Keela. I call her Kiki.
Mm-hmm.
She started the magazines back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Forsyth Woman was the first one, and then she started Forsyth Family with a friend of hers a couple years later. Robin Brawley's the publisher of that one. And then we have a once-a-year publication, Forsyth Community, that are under the Forsyth Mags umbrella, and we are launching a fourth publication called LKN Magazine that will be based in the Lake Norman area.
Wow. So you're expanding to another city, basically. So how did your mom get started with this idea, and how did the focal point become women's empowerment?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my mom worked for Sara Lee, specifically the legs portion, pantyhose, and was laid off. People
Man, isn't that...
People weren't wearing pantyhose as much, you know?
You know what? Now that you mention it and it, springtime is getting here, you're probably right.
Yeah,
probably
yeah. Times right. have changed. So yes. she was laid off. She was there for over 20 years. She tried to be a stay-at-home mom for a couple weeks. It wasn't for her. She was approached by a guy about selling ads for a car magazine.
Okay.
And my dad owned a body shop for many years, so we're pretty familiar with the car world. And so she was like, okay, I might can do that. And the guy had an idea, just a really vague idea. He had the name for Scythe Woman, but he's like, I think there's a lot of potential for a women's magazine. And so to make a really long story short, my mom purchased the name from him and took it and ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, against our whole family's will, we're like, I don't know, Mom, that's probably not a good idea.
Right.
But in true Keela fashion, she pushed forward. And it has been super successful. And I think the reason it's been so successful is partially because of that women's empowerment. And mm-hmm. also what we talked about before we started recording is that we just have a passion for all of our magazines for helping businesses and women and men mm-hmm. to tell their story. Because
mm-hmm.
People want to know your story. They want to know why you love what you do, why you started your business, mm-hmm. who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So
print media, when your mom started, was still flourishing. But now, because of technology, print media, like radio and everything else, media-oriented, people can get their information at their convenience when they want.
Sure.
Because of technology. You've been able to survive that and actually flourishing here in Forsyth County because of the concept of women's empowerment. So that hats off to you for that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's critical because so many, the journal is even struggling trying to keep business going. So the focal point, focusing on women's empowerment, in selecting that focus as part of one of the monthly segments that I wanted to do, I want people to understand, even though we're talking about women's empowerment, empowerment is empowerment. The basics of what is being talked about through most of your podcast and most of the information that we're going to be sharing focuses on women's empowerment, but the basis of it helps everybody.
Sure.
So get into that and the mindset of that being the focal point of the direction of your magazine.
Yeah. So I think pretty early on that was the direction of our magazines. And to kind of go back to what you were saying about print being so flourishing, you know, 16, 17 years ago. And I think there's something special about print still to this day. I think people trust print. I think it's authentic. And I think we've done a really nice job, in my unbiased opinion, of connecting print with so many other things, with our social media, with podcasting, mm-hmm. with our websites. Because there's just, you know, marketing is very multifaceted, and I think you can't just stick to one thing.
Right.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think empowerment, of course, we're a little focused towards women, but mm-hmm. I think empowerment is important for everybody. I think if you feel that empowered feeling and that confidence that life is better, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm. And you know, for me, one of the most important things is women's empowerment and Forsyth Women's Magazine touches a lot of different areas that are lifestyle oriented.
Yeah.
Health, fashion, lifestyle, food, home, and community. So you cover a lot of different things that are a part of everybody's lifestyle on a daily basis. Of the, I'm going to ask you this crazy question. Of those that I mentioned, what's your favorite?
Oh, I'm a health girl all the way.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I like my food too, though. So
okay,
maybe
do a lot of cooking.
No, not as much as I would like to, but I love to support all of our amazing local restaurants that
we have around here. Absolutely. So when we talk about empowerment, what is your focal point in trying to discuss? Because a lot of the subject matter that you get into has to do with actual people
mm-hmm.
who are either CEOs, entrepreneurs, daily people in daily lives, but they tell their stories of how they get through things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, everybody likes to hear how somebody survives a challenge. I think that's motivating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like I said, we do like to help people tell their story. Through their business, through personal things. And I think the categories that you just mentioned, it takes a combination of those to really feel empowered and motivated in life. Mm-hmm. I think if they're off balance,
mm-hmm.
you know, if your health is not there, if you're spending too much time at work and you're not taking care of your body, if you're not eating well, if you're spending too much time focused on your health and wellness and not spending enough time with your family or your career, I think it takes such a nice balance. And especially as women, I think that can be really difficult, especially if you're a mom and trying to own a business and trying to, you know, be in a marriage and trying to have a social life. Mm-hmm. It can be difficult. So we love trying to help people navigate some of those things.
As the publisher, what are you trying to pull out of your guests when you have your podcast? What are you trying to get out of them?
I just like to know their why. Like, especially the business owners and we talk to a lot of nonprofits too. Why are you doing what you're doing? You know, everybody has a really cool story if you can pull it out of them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the best part, is kind of learning that behind the scenes, why you do what you do. Because, you know, I try really hard for our articles and the podcast and all of our content to really be personal and not be a quote-unquote ad. Because, I mean, it is essentially an ad. You want to help people promote their business, but you want to do it in a way that makes them really want to do business with those people. Like, they feel like they know them personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like empowering you and the things that we do with the radio station. That's why I love doing stuff across things with media. Our main purpose always has been, I think all media has kind of gotten away from this for the most part, but I think the main focal point should always be, how do we go about benefiting those that consume our product?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because if you're not, I mean, I love the quote, I'm going to butcher the actual quote, but if you're not helping people and serving people, mm-hmm. what are you even doing? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the point at the end of the day.
When you, like myself and other people that are in the media, we're in the public. You do a lot of activity in the community. When you go out and meet people that are subscribers to Forsyth Women's Magazine, what are some of the stories that they give you about how certain articles have helped them and helps motivate you to keep going with what you're doing in terms of your motivation?
Yeah, that's a great question. Not so much article specific, but I do love when people come up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, I came to one of your Girls Night Out events. We do a Girls Night Out event once a month. I came to that and I made a new friend there and we have been friends for 10 years. Like, mm-hmm. stories like mm-hmm. that just make mm-hmm. me feel mm-hmm. so good. So the events that we put on is kind of just another portion of our company. But bringing people together and bringing our community together through those events, mm-hmm. that's like, that makes my heart really happy.
People don't understand, as creators, as both of us are, when we spend a lot of time behind closed doors, we spend a lot. People don't even understand. I sometimes go home, I watch a little basketball when basketball season is in. After that goes off, I'm up to 1-2 o'clock in the morning because everything is still, and I'm able to create and I'm able to think.
Yeah.
When you're in that mode, because I remember trying to schedule time with you to even have this conversation, and I'm going, she's so busy, I'll be lucky to be able to get her in the middle of the day. But we were able to make that happen. Does that happen for you as well?
Yeah, I'm my secret is I like to chunk things. Like, I had 3, maybe 4 meetings before this. Mm-hmm. And so I like to chunk all my time together. That way you're not, I got this from the 4-hour work week book,
right.
but that way you're not getting in and out of that meeting mindset.
Right.
Cause I consider myself kind of an ambivert.
Mm-hmm.
I can be really extroverted when I need to be, but I also need my alone time and my quiet time to create, like you said.
Yes.
So I get all my public things and my things out of the way, and then I can have that time, or a full day. Usually Mondays and Fridays are my days where I don't schedule any meetings and I can have my time to get stuff done in my office, because otherwise it's not going to happen.
It's amazing. I've never met you, and I think I mentioned this to you before, how I've met my media twin.
Yeah.
Because in creating things and creating ideas for what we're doing in our mission, you always have to remember, I can't jump into creating a letter to send to somebody and then jump over here and do this creative and then jump back over here.
Yep.
You have to structure, okay, On this day, from 8 until 12, I want to get all my meetings out of the way. I'm going to devote 1 to 5 to being in the studio to do this project. Uh-huh. I'm going to the next day. So you have to kind of block out and organize your mind like that. So that's always good.
Oh, yeah.
Any of the stories recently that you've had that touched you in terms of empowerment, something that really stood out the most for you?
Yeah. It's funny, the word empowerment. We recently threw our very first conference, our Women on the Move conference. And I'll have to send you a picture, but we had in front of the venue, we had these huge marquee letters that spelled out empowered for right when you walked in. That's the first thing that you saw. We had almost 300 women there. The event sold out. It sold out in record time. And it was just so, the whole day, the word empowered and empowering and feeling empowered came up so many times throughout that day because it was an all day event. And the feeling of empowerment that all of these women felt, it literally almost brings tears to my eyes because it was just such a special day, and it was just an honor to put it on and be a part of these ladies' lives for that day.
The fact that you can put together an event that 300 people attend during a pandemic and sell out in advance. I have a friend who's a motivational speaker and does motivational speaking across the country, especially with Fortune 500 companies.
Oh,
that
cool.
She does women's empowerment motivational speaking. It's interesting to me to find out how many women, especially, and people in particular, gravitate to events of this nature.
Yeah.
That speaks a lot about what your mission is and what you're doing. Let's talk about some of the things that you have coming up, events that other people can, people that are hearing this for the first time and just finding out about Forsyth Women's Magazine. What do you have coming up?
Yeah, so save the date for next year. We're going to do that event again. It was a huge success. March 20th of 2023. It'll be at Wynn Mock at Kinderton out in Bermuda Run.
Okay.
And then we have a girls' night out event once a month.
Okay.
It's always at a different local restaurant. The next one is going to be Tuesday, May 3rd at 600 Degrees.
Okay.
And you can sign up on, you can go to our website, forsythwoman.com, and sign up for our newsletter to get email reminders about our GNO events. And then we do, every October, we do an event called Tour de Boutique. This is my other favorite event. I don't know. They're all my favorite. I love events. But we go, it's a self-guided tour. Last year, we probably had 175 or so women that signed up for our tour last year. And we just do tons of shopping at all of our local boutiques that partner with us.
That got somebody's attention. Yeah. Shopping.
Yeah. We're big fans of supporting local, shopping local, of course. And so this day is all about shopping local. And I think, oh my gosh, I wish we could have some hard numbers. We have some vague numbers, but we seriously put thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars into the economy on that one day from all these women going out and shopping.
That's great.
Yeah.
Getting through the pandemic, coming out on this side, it appears that we're coming out, and I'm hearing stories, but you never know how much of that is what to believe of that.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it there. Coming out of the pandemic, are you looking forward to, seems as though you've had plenty of activity during the pandemic, recreating yourself like everybody else has had to do business differently.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to really getting back to some kind of normalcy?
Yeah. Yeah. The pandemic, I mean, I'm sure you can relate. Oh my gosh. Talk about scary and tough.
It was.
We had to do lots of pivoting, as everybody did. One of my favorite stories is I just love our community. We had so many people behind us that wanted to still support us. We couldn't, a lot of our distribution points pre-COVID were doctor's offices and hospitals. And some people don't realize magazines were not allowed in doctor's offices or hospitals. And in fact, we still are not in as many doctors and hospitals. So we had a much more limited distribution than we once did. So we had neighborhood ambassadors. So we had people that would reach out to us, or we would reach out to them. They're like, hey, I live in Clemens West and I'm willing to be a neighborhood ambassador. So they would put a magazine rack on their front porch.
Really?
We would deliver them magazines and we would communicate via social media like, okay, this Clemens West and Waterford and Asbury, they have their magazine racks on so-and-so's front porch. Because people were doing a lot of walking during the shutdown. So that was probably one of my favorite shutdown stories of how we still got our magazines out to people.
That's incredible. Yeah. Has the pandemic forced you to change how you go about getting subscriptions and maintaining those?
Yeah, it's kind of made us reevaluate. And honestly, it's been positive. We pre-COVID, our distribution, the number of places we distributed to was a little higher, but we've kind of condensed. And so we go through similar amounts of magazines, but just at fewer places. So grocery stores are a really, really prime spot where people pick up our magazines.
Okay.
Everybody has to go to the grocery store.
Right, right.
I should go more often. But
if they have anything on the shelves.
Yeah, exactly. So grocery stores are our big distribution point. But yeah, it's been, I am excited to get back to normal, as you say. But I heard a speaker kind of during COVID at a chamber meeting that I was at, and she made such a good point. She said, it's been so interesting to watch people and businesses through this pandemic. People have either, it was similar, you know, to the Great Depression. People either struggled, had to shut their doors, they kind of rode it out and barely survived, or they just totally thrived and took off and went in a different direction and used it to their advantage. And I'm really, really proud that Forsyth Mags as a whole has been the latter, and we've been forced into change. But change is good, you know.
You have a large contributing staff.
We do. Most of our people are independent contractors.
Right.
As far as our core team, it's actually much smaller than people think. People think we have like a big building downtown, but we don't. We work from home, as most people do now. So working from home was the not hard for COVID because we were used to that.
Okay.
But yeah, we have a huge team of contributing writers, contributing photographers, graphic designers, account executives. We have a large team.
That's great.
Yeah.
So if people want to find out more about Forsyth Women, do you accept volunteers? Do people come in and contribute volunteer time to help you on your events and those type of things?
We actually are going to put together. I'm trying to get better at my delegation skills.
You and me both. I've been working at that for over 30 years.
My mom's a pro. I don't know.
You have to find the right people, I think that is, that you can entrust and go, okay, I give this person this to do. I don't have to worry about having to go behind them and redoing it anyway.
Oh, my gosh. That's the truth. Well, and I have to give a shout out to a couple people on our team. Shonda Bravender, she is kind of our events girl. And the women's conference would have not been possible without her. She was just a trooper. And then Michelle Hyatt, who handles all of our social media, best decision I ever made was to bring her on the team. Because when you find those right people that are a good fit for your team, you can just like skyrocket with what you can do.
as a decision maker for a media outlet, I don't mind paying people.
Yeah.
The problem,
you get what you pay for.
Yeah. The problem is you have to be very careful in your selection process these days because self-motivators are hard to find.
Yes.
People who are efficient at being efficient are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
People that do what they say they're going to do are hard to find.
Yeah.
So when I'm looking, like I don't plan on hosting this show eternally. At some point in time at the end of the year, I wanted to get it started to give it its foundation and expectation from the consumer base. But at some point in time, I want to hand this off to somebody else to do so that they already have the concept. You already have samples of what it's supposed to be like. You can take it and send it on your own arc upward because I would like that. But at the same time, I have to find the right person who has a passion for this.
Oh, sure. Passion is number one key, in my opinion.
If you were to give advice based on the many, many stories that you all have distributed in terms of empowerment and people are looking for answers to coming out of COVID, what would be your best advice? Tough question.
I think it would be look at who you're surrounding yourself with. You know, the saying that you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. I think just to be aware of who you're surrounding yourself with and have a good mentor, have somebody who you admire and look up to. I have several who I talk on the phone to all the time and who I get advice from and who I learn from. And my mom is also, of course, a big mentor for me too. But I think having that good, solid support group of people around you is the key to success.
Well, that's great. Anything that we haven't covered about Forsyth women, anything that you have in your mind now that you know the concept of what we're doing here and how we're going to move this forward, what you would like to see come to the table in this segment or anything of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, we have... So I think I briefly talked about our Women on the Move conference, but we do have the name. The reason that conference is named that is because we have a column in the magazine that's called Women on the Move.
Okay.
So this event was essentially bringing that column to life. Mm-hmm. And this Women on the Move column in the print magazine is the only thing in the magazine that we've had in there other than the publisher note that's been in every single issue for the last 17 years.
Okay. Okay.
And I would love for any ladies listening who are interested, it's free, it's first come, first serve, and it's basically a feature, a headshot and a bio that tells a little bit about you. Just because we love, you know, learning about all these women in our community. So if you're interested in submitting yourself or somebody you know, we would love for you to do that. You can,
that's important.
You can email me, you can do it on our website.
Give the website address one more time.
ForsythWoman.com. And then on social media, you can follow us at Forsyth Mags on Instagram and on Facebook.
Great, great. Well, needless to say, I look forward to this segment.
Me too.
It's different. It's unique. I think in the future, we're going to find things that come out of Forsyth Women's Magazine that are going to be able to help the citizens of the Forsyth County and the Triad. So, Brooke Eagle, publisher of Forsyth Women, thank you so very much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
Yeah, we look forward to this. This is not your last time. We'll be doing. Let's see if we can continue to do this on a monthly basis. That's
yes.
going to be the key with our crazy schedules.
Yeah, if we can get it scheduled, get it on the calendar,
yeah,
we can do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Brooke Eagle, publisher of Forsyth Women's Magazine. Thank you. Stay tuned. We'll be back in about 90 seconds. We'll talk to the director of one of the oldest resources of information in our community. That's next on Empowering You, WSNC 90.5 FM. Community and nonprofit organizations in the Triad. A portion of our mission at WSNC is to connect the community. We have several platforms to help enhance awareness throughout the Triad of the many activities and events provided by countless organizations. Workshops, lectures, motivational speakers, healthcare screenings, seminars, you name it, it's happening in the Triad. We strive to be a major connection for our listeners and want to make sure to offer organizations consistent access to inform the public. If you're responsible for your organization's marketing and/or publicity, or you know who is and can pass this information on to them, at least 2 weeks prior to the event, send us details on organization letterhead to WSNC Community Calendar. Email it to wsncfm@gmail.com. WSNC is an NPR affiliate owned and operated by Winston-Salem State University. All right, we're back. Welcome back to Empowering You. And as promised, we highlight some of the nonprofits in our Forsyth County region to give you information that you may not know about these facilities and services that they provide that help you in your everyday routine. Today, I am proud to welcome to Empowering You the Library Director, Brian Hart. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm trying to live this life.
I hear that.
We're all trying to live this life.
Absolutely.
Let's get into a little bit about your background. Where are you from? Who are you? How did you get into the library directorship?
Absolutely. So I am originally from Columbia, South Carolina, though I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was reared and went to high school in Columbia, South Carolina, so I do consider that home. The first library job that I ever extended or served in was in the Richland County Public Library in Columbia, South Carolina. And that is where I got my introduction or where I received my introduction to libraries as not just a repository or a warehouse for books and materials, but as also a community pillar. Mm-hmm. We established many different programs and collaborated with the community, both individually and collectively, to enhance the quality of life in that area. And so that is where I got my beginnings or received my beginnings in libraries particularly public libraries, and that is why I am still serving in one today. Prior to coming on board as the director for the Forsyth County Public Library, I was deputy director for 3 years at the Greensboro Public Library Center, Public Library, which is centered or situated in Greensboro, North Carolina. So we are, I came over from the neighboring system, having already had some experience here in Forsyth County. My family and I have lived in the Triad for five years at this point. And so even as I was working and commuting to Greensboro Public Library, I was a resident of Forsyth County. And so it was a no-brainer in a sense for me to apply. And I'm grateful that I was afforded this opportunity to serve.
And we're glad to have you, too.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Let's get into the pandemic, first of all.
Sure.
Everybody went through 2 years of adjusting. How did the library have to change what they were doing to get through and remain open during the pandemic?
We've changed operations quite a bit, beginning with back in March of 2020 when we were all kind of forced into this new way of living, new normal.
Yeah.
We initially closed down all of our facilities in terms of not allowing the public to come in. However, as quickly as we did that, we also instituted a to-go service in order to give customers access to materials that they requested. And so it was kind of a contactless or contact-free service and way of them receiving their materials. They would call and request them, and members of our team would go pick them up and make them available for the customers to come and pick up at their leisure.
Okay.
Typically, they would be on a cart either in the foyer or just outside of the libraries and would be available for customers to come and pick up for anywhere from 5 to 7 days. We've actually, even as conditions regarding the pandemic, you know, have eased,
mm-hmm.
Restrictions have eased, we've opened up, we've continued to provide this to-go service because we recognize that it is an incredibly convenient way for people to still receive library materials. And in addition to that, we recognize that, you know, not everyone is at the same place in terms of their comfort level of reintegrating back into society and opening back up. And so we've continued to provide that that to-go service as an option. Similarly, we've continued to provide a number of virtual programs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we, you know, all library systems kind of experimented with virtual programs to kind of leverage, the internet and connectivity. However, in the pandemic, we, you know, went full on virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Even as conditions have lifted or become less restrictive, we've kept some of those virtual offerings because of the conveniency of it. Programmatically and in the mode of delivering, materials to customers are probably two of the more substantial changes that we made to operations.
Technology.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is very useful. It can be very harmful, too, in the wrong hands. I liken the library system to media in that technology. Library used to be the place where you go to get information, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
Media used to be the place where you'd have to go to find out what's happening in your market.
Mm-hmm.
Technology has come along in the last 20 years and changed that whole dynamic. And you mentioned having this to-go service through the library system. Technology, how has that helped you as you come out of the pandemic, going through the pandemic, and moving forward into the future?
Oh, man. So, you know, technology is our ability and, efforts to leverage technology, not only for, the convenience of providing, services and collections to people with these, but also, to help empower them to pursue their goals is incredibly important. One of the ways in which we've leveraged technology at the Forsyth County Public Library is that we offer a lot of computer classes.
Mm-hmm.
The technology that we have, we are leveraging that to ensure that members in the community can develop certain competencies and comfort level with technology, even if it's only to, send emails or to keep in touch with family. Obviously, we know that, the pandemic forced us to deal with isolation in a different way. Yes. And so, you know, getting, you know, members of the community trained and proficient or comfortable with Zoom and other other platforms of video conferencing and networking was really helpful. And so we've done a number of those classes. Mm-hmm. We have a computer training bridge, which is led by a computer training bridge coordinator. Her name is Rhonda. Mm-hmm. She does a phenomenal job of curating classes that speak directly to the needs and interests of the community.
You know, you must read Upside Down well. That was at the, I was going to address that, and I'm looking at it and going, he just stole my note. No. Let's continue on that. Mm-hmm. Getting the community assistance with computers. Technology scares a lot of people.
Sure.
Over 50 years old. Mm-hmm. Scares a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Outside of the basic classes, like, you know, people have to understand how you turn on a computer, the security on a computer, just basically getting into how do you write a letter, mm-hmm. how do I keep up with my finances, all the basic Apple and Microsoft software. Sure. You all have training classes for that.
We do, absolutely. In addition to the computer training bridge and Rhonda's efforts, we have staff available at all 10 Forsyth County Public Library locations that can assist customers individually, you know, at their pace, one-on-one mm-hmm. Types of sessions. But we also offer a fair share of classes that are more communal. We invite more people in to learn together and share their experiences with technology with other, you know, participants or attendees. And so we've seen a lot of success with those classes as well. In the pandemic, again, some of that kind of eased up because if they, you know, weren't already proficient enough in turning on computers and you know, getting online in order to participate in the classes, then they weren't, you know, able to do so. And so we really revved up our one-on-one offerings in the midst of the pandemic. But now that conditions have loosened, you know, we are doing those classes, those group sessions, and people can come to them, you know, at their leisure.
Is there a cost for it, free or?
It's all free.
And how do they register for the classes?
So the majority of them you can register online by visiting our library's website, which is forsythlibrary.org or forsyth.cc/library.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, view a listing of the classes on our calendar feature.
Okay.
But I also, and I know that our staff, our team, you know, thrives on the direct customer interaction. And so for that reason, I also just encourage people to visit the location nearest them so that they can find out from those staff members, from those teams on site, you know, when classes are offering and maybe even make suggestions, you know, for other classes, because we're really receptive to input, feedback or feed forward from the community. Mm-hmm. And so if the community says they desire or need a class on a particular topic, we're going to do our very best to provide that.
That's amazing. And because technology has taken over the world, a lot of the employment situations, you touched on this as well. Now, earlier in my career, when I couldn't figure out where I was going, what I was doing, the library was a major resource for me in terms of job search, doing my background research on career fields and this kind of thing. I did that in high school. Mm-hmm. So it's still a mainstay of the public library as well?
Absolutely. We have a nonprofit and business resource center at the Central Library. And the staff of information services librarians on that third floor where that center is located, they oftentimes will do different programs to help people with resumes, help people with job searches online. Because, again, as you alluded to, you can't even apply for a job now if you don't have a certain level of proficiency with, you know, computers and online applications. And so we offer those programs very regularly. And you know, I've spent a lot of time, I feel like, discussing the programs. But again, individually, mm-hmm. it doesn't require a program. You don't have to register for a program to get assistance from a librarian. Mm-hmm. We're always available to aid.
So you could just typically walk in and get servicing at that point.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. That's important to know.
Good.
I would add to that, even when, you know, we aren't physically open, our website is always available 24/7.
Okay.
And even on the website, we have online resources or databases that also provide assistance with job help and resume, you know, editing or critiquing.
Yes.
So
that's great. That's
definitely
great.
Things I want the community to take advantage of.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we always talk about free. The word free is so very powerful. Mm-hmm. And when you know something is available to you without a cost, regardless of what your intention is with it, take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know. Information is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you get together the direction that you're going in your life.
And the thing that I like to, if I may, highlight about the free nature of it, you know, it's kind of twofold. It's free in terms of its, you know, availability.
Yes.
Right. You know, but in some ways, you know, community members, taxpayers, residents of Forsyth County have already foot the bill for these services. And so it's really important that they know that so that they go ahead and take advantage of them as well.
And it doesn't go to waste.
It does. Exactly.
Absolutely. again, you're a great upside down reader. We talked about the technology and how the virtual aspect of technology seems to help us move into the future. One of my favorites that I researched about the library that is pertinent to this show because we highlight nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
How and explain the virtual program for finding funding for your nonprofit.
Yeah. So that is a program that is led by one of our information services librarians. Her name is Jody. She does a phenomenal job in curating a lot of different resources for the nonprofit and entrepreneurs in the area to tap into, to get connected with funding opportunities and learn about grants and also learn about, you know, different strategies that they might be able to take to kind of get their organization off the ground.
Okay.
In addition to that, that workshop, that class, the series of classes that she curates and offers, I would say that we also look to support the local community and the local business community. We partner with a lot of organizations, and we spotlight or feature a lot of different nonprofit organizations fairly regularly through our programs and even just through, you know, spotlights on our social media assets so that we can make sure that the wider or broader, you know, public of Forsyth County is familiar with, you know, these organizations and the services that they provide.
The most sought after training when it comes to nonprofits is grant writing. Do you provide classes on grant writing as well?
We have. I can't speak directly to, you know, the schedule of those events, but we have provided, you know, classes to that nature. Sometimes we will bring in experts because we're not necessarily the experts
right.
on every theme or every discipline.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, we just use the space that we have provided to us to offer, you know, to collaborate with other organizations or other experts in the fields to give them the space to share their knowledge on
right.
such topics.
Okay, I got you. That's very important. There are a lot of people, especially in this job environment, looking to open businesses or looking to get into helping the community and searching for grants and nonprofit situations that they can manage based on their experience in their previous employment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always good. I hear people talking about that all the time.
Agreed.
Prior to the pandemic, there was a program called the Community Read Program that's been on hiatus for about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that it's back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is the Community Read program and what is it doing now moving into the future?
Yeah, so on the same page is the name of that Community Read. We took a hiatus because it just didn't feel appropriate or responsible to invite the county or customers into the library space in droves. And so, you know, now feels fitting. And so what we are doing this year, which is kind of a shift from past years, is that we've put it to a vote in the community.
Okay.
In prior years, the selections, the books that we would read as a community were decided, you know, among library staff and maybe a few key stakeholders in mm-hmm. the community. Mm-hmm. But this year we put it to a public vote and community members have until the end of this month to vote. And we're excited about being able to read a selection, you know, that we've already kind of started to get the community familiar with.
Okay.
And so there are seven titles that they can, you know, decide on. And then, you know, their vote will be weighed against, you know, some of our internal discussions. And we hope to be able to bring, you know, an author in mm-hmm. for whichever title is selected.
That wins the title.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got seven different titles.
I'm assuming the authors are national and mm-hmm. local?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have the titles that are up for on the ballot, so to speak, mm-hmm. are Man's Search for Meaning, written by Viktor E. Frankl, mm-hmm. Mexican Gothic, which is, and I may batter this name a bit, but is written by Silvia Moreno Garcia.
Okay.
We have Braiding Sweetgrass, which is written by Robin Wall Kimmerer. We have The Personal Librarian, which for obvious reasons, I'm maybe a bit biased too, because I consider myself to be Forsyth County's librarian.
Right.
And that was written by Marie Benedict and Victoria Christopher Murray. Station 11 is another that's on the ballot, written by Emily St. John Mandel or Mandel. The High Five Habit is written by Mel Robbins. And then All the Bright Places, written by Jennifer Nevin. So those are the seven titles that are kind of on the ballot this year.
Okay. Good,
and
good.
And we're excited to see how it all pans out, and hoping to bring a read or a book to the community that we can, you know, have some meaningful and rich discussions about during the fall of this year.
So when is the finalist announced?
It will be announced sometime during May, okay. Late May, early June.
Okay.
And what we hope to do is use the summer reading program to really, you know, continue to galvanize people around the community read and the fact that it's returned to Forsyth County on the same
great.
Page.
That's great. That's a community involved situation. I like that. I'm doing my research on something that was sent out by the library back in February,
mm-hmm.
and they're called New Community Literacy Stations. Mm-hmm. Now, in doing my research, one of the things or a couple of the benefits of this particular program, and I highlighted this, sharpening memory
mm-hmm.
and reducing stress, improving concentration, and strengthening relationships. Now, mm-hmm. the first thing my mind went to, okay, literacy stations across the community. Typically, anytime we go somewhere in the community and we have to wait for servicing or what have you, what's the first thing people do? Pick up their phones
mm-hmm.
and run to social media.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
is certainly not going to reduce any stress.
Right. Right.
So tell me right. more about the literacy stations and the intent and the mission of those.
Yeah, so the intent is kind of as you referenced, is to provide an alternative. In fact, the slogan for the literacy stations is, you know, take browse, take, read while you wait. And so what we hope people will do in those various businesses where the literacy stations are located is, you know, peruse the collection that's available that our outreach division has kind of curated in mm-hmm. tandem mm-hmm. with those business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that they'll take it, that they'll get lost in those books. And if they get so connected to a book that they'll even, you know, take it with them.
Mm-hmm.
We want to help do our part to create a very print rich environment across the county, print rich environments across the county,
okay.
Particularly in places where we know families and young children kind of migrate or live. And it's important for us to be able to do that because we know that, you know, reading on a consistent basis helps improve the retention of information and knowledge. It helps to broaden one's horizon and expose them to other pockets and areas of the world or even perspective
mm-hmm.
in the world that is, you know, unlike their own. And so we're really excited about these and thankful to those business owners and other agencies that have welcomed these literacy stations into to their spaces.
And these businesses are Wishy Washy Laundry, mm-hmm. Touch of Art Barbershop,
mm-hmm.
The Latino Community Services, and Bridges to Hope Family Justice Center of Forsyth County.
That's correct. That's
those
correct.
Were selected. Why?
So partially because of you know, just paying attention to how the community moves about, right?
Okay.
We know that, you know, hair care and salons are huge industries, right?
Multi-billion dollar industry.
Right. And so, you know, to partner or align with a barber shop and slash salon
mm-hmm.
In this effort was kind of a no-brainer.
Okay.
Wishy Washy Laundry, similarly, right? We know that It's almost a part of hygiene, as much of a part of hygiene as, you know, salons are to wash clothes and things of that nature. And we know those are places where people go and have to sit a while. And then the Latino Community Services and the Bridges to Hope Justice Center, Family Justice Center, both of those are kind of, you know, they offer a wide range of services to the families and you know, children who visit and have to, you know, be in those spaces. And so, you know, for them to have the option to pick up a book, to get entranced in a read, is just, you know, a great opportunity.
Okay.
And one that, you know, those organizations also believed in as being vital to their missions.
That's great.
Of supporting families.
That's great. A substantial grant, too, to be able to facilitate this. That's mm-hmm. always good.
Absolutely.
It's always good. Is this an ongoing project, or is it an annual project that you all are just testing to find out mm-hmm. the end game in terms of how many people you reach and how many people you benefit?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's kind of in a pilot phase for the moment.
Okay.
You know, we're trying to assess not only the success of the venture, but also our capacity to grow and expand.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some requests from other agencies in the community to potentially, you know, house a literacy station.
Oh,
I don't want to name those agencies just yet.
Please don't.
But we do have those conversations are in the works, are happening, and we do hope to expand sometime in the summer or maybe early fall.
If a business or a local organization wants to be considered, is that possible?
It is. It is. They can reach out to Shannondale Page, who is our Outreach, Diversity, and Inclusion Manager. She is, I don't have her contact information available at
mm-hmm,
the moment,
mm-hmm.
but she her office is right there at the Central Library in downtown Winston-Salem, as is mine.
Okay.
And, you know, sending her an email or paying us a visit is a good way to do that. We're also in the process of updating our website. And so a lot of this information will be available for businesses and customers to view there.
Okay. Now, we've touched on computer training. We've touched on job and career services and sources, the virtual program of how to find funding for your nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about the literacy stations. I was playing about it earlier about social media and the information rush to social media for people to try and support a debate point or support something that they think. A lot of people have gotten into the convenience of social media,
mm-hmm.
but the library is the originator of this information. And if you ever wanted to get, and there are always great debates going on social media,
mm-hmm.
but if you want to strengthen that, you want to strengthen who you are as a person, go to the library.
Absolutely.
Because that's where all the information is. Google is good, but go to the library.
Absolutely.
Because Google is not always going to give you what is out there and available for you to do a deep research. They give you what's popular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that about the library, and I'm glad that you all have these many services that are available to the community.
And I appreciate you saying that. You know, one of the things that we kind of pride ourselves on is you know, having credible information that represents credible information
With a capital C,
yes, sir. Credible information that gives the community access to, you know, divergent ways of thinking and you know, a plethora of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really excited about that and proud of the way in which our collection development team, you know, works tirelessly to make sure that we do have a collection that is reflective of the very diverse community that we serve, and also allows, as you reference, community members to do deeper dives.
Yes.
In information.
Yes.
And we don't just do that through you know, the availability of the collections and the materials, but we also do that through programs such as the Read. The Read to Right Wrongs initiative, which mm-hmm. is a series of panel discussions that we launched coming out of the summer of 2020, in which we know there was a lot of unrest and racial tension. And so we did we launched that initiative then. We've also held programs with, you know, fairly or very notable speakers,
mm-hmm.
You know, who have been willing to share their lived experience. Back in September, we hosted Yousef Salam, who is one of the exonerated five, and he was able to speak about his lived experience
mm-hmm.
As a formerly incarcerated man and wrongfully convicted
mm-hmm.
Man. And, you know, similarly, we will this Sunday, in fact, on
April the 24th. He's reading upside
down. April the 24th at 4 p.m. So later on today, we'll be hosting author Phoebe Zerwick as she discusses her book, Beyond Innocence, which relates to the life sentence of Daryl Hunt. And so we are really excited to be able to host her as a part of the larger community read that that Muse Winston-Salem has been putting on for the community.
Yeah, that was my final point. You bring in because it's the library. You have a lot of authors that are featured in your library. Some have multiple books. Some of them are just one-time authors. But this piece here, what I have learned since I've been in Winston-Salem for the last 16 years, this story about Daryl Hunt is one that touches everybody.
Agreed.
Everybody. And to have an outside source come in and talk about her, I guess, perception and research on this situation with Daryl Hunt, to come up with a book, it's going to be monumental to have Phoebe Zerwick in the library talking and answering questions.
Absolutely. And the conversation is going to be moderated by our Outreach, Diversity, and Inclusion Manager, Shannon Dale Page. You know, we really feel, you know, I say this often, and so if there are any members of our team listening in, this will sound familiar to them. But I often say that, you know, we connect people and purpose through library service. And, you know, what that means and how that relates to this particular program is that we want to help the county and Winston-Salem as a whole stay mindful and cognizant of our past. Right. Because without that, without that reflection, we're kind of doomed to make missteps moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to move forward. We want to get closer and closer to fulfilling the purpose that we have collectively. We want to connect with each other in as harmonious of a way as is possible. And in order to do so, you have to have real conversations, meaningful conversations that inform and maybe even inspire people, you know, to be change agents themselves.
Right. And so
we feel very confident that this book is yet again another, you know, or more so than the book, the program is yet again another opportunity, you know, to unpack issues, have real dialogue, real discussions about them so that we can, you know, have a reverence for our past as we chart out a path for the future.
This is going to be good. This is going to be good. Well, we've talked about a lot of different things. The one thing we haven't talked about are the renovations of the library.
Okay.
There was a lot of money spent to renovate the downtown library, the headquarters. I've been in there prior to its renovation. And I haven't been in there yet, but just looking on the outside, one day I was riding around on, I think it's 5th Street. Is that the street? I was riding down 5th Street and looked over at the library and go, what is that? Didn't even recognize it. So how is that, and what was the intent outside of just modernizing the downtown library? And how's it come out for you?
Well, so I think, you know, it's funny because you use the word modernizing the library, and you know, really, there's so much to that. Because, you know, we want to be able to support community. We want to be able to support individuals as they, you know, get, again, closer and closer to reaching their destiny and reaching, you know, their purpose, fulfilling their purpose. And in order to do that, you have to have, you know, resources and state-of-the-art facilities that support that and that are conducive environments, you know, for people to do research, for people to learn and engage in a different way. And so, you know, the modernization, the renovation of that facility to in order to outfit it with more technology, additional computers, you know, and we even have, I haven't spoken a lot about this, but we've even have, you know, technology beyond computers, such as 3D printers and, you know, recording booths, green screens that allow, you know, children and teens and others to, you know, dabble in those areas. Yes, if you want to record music, if you want to experiment with film and design, you have green screens available to you right here year in Winston-Salem at the Forsyth County Public Library.
Now, that part I didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're totally keeping up with technology and making sure that the library advances itself mm-hmm. to be able to meet those needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We know that, you know, there's multiple paths to success. And so we want to be able to support, you know, the very diverse community that we have on their respective paths and journeys.
Absolutely.
And so we're really proud of those renovations and the way we've been able to, you know, outfit those that central library in particular with new technology that that really supports and gives people access to you know, materials and resources that they might not otherwise have. In addition to the central library, we also have two facilities that are relatively new still in Kernersville and one in Clemens. And so they were all a part of the same bond or referendum that was approved by voters. And so we're really happy to be able to, you know, have these facilities available to people. And let me say this, because I think this is another kind of, you know, misnomer. Regardless of where you live in the county,
yes.
If you live in the county, all 10 locations
are available to you.
You know, and even in some of the, you know, outlying areas, I mean, frankly, you know, just because you live in East Winston does not mean that the facilities and the technology that is available in the Clemens Library or in the Patterson Library, which is in Kernersville, is not available to you. It is absolutely available to you.
Absolutely. Well, interesting conversation. In my mind, I'm glad that we had this discussion, because for years the library system has been at the back of most people's minds because this information wasn't so readily available. Mm-hmm. Now that we're hearing it, there are so many different things going on. I'm glad to say that Forsyth County Public Library System continues to be a very important resource in our county
mm-hmm.
and very viable in our county as Absolutely. Well as we move into the future.
Yes, sir.
We've been talking to the library director, Brian Hart. Thank you so very much for coming by and having this discussion with us. And hopefully this will get more information out into the community about the various services that are available. I'm still on this nonprofit funding thing.
Absolutely. And
that really piqued my interest. So thank you for coming by.
And thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to brag on our services and on our team, and frankly on the community, because we know that if not for the support that we receive from the taxpayers and from the county as a whole, that we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So we thank you all who are listening in.
Absolutely.